Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There are extraordinary things going on today behind the scenes with people whose names that you would all recognize. In fact, Christians, pro-lifers from around the country would recognize these names. But they're behind the scenes works for our open letter campaign to Dr. Dobson and National Right to Life, the pro-life movement. And so, in the future, perhaps we could tell you about some of the things going on. But later in this program, there is something that we're going to announce. We will make an announcement in just a bit. But first, I'd like to go to a guest we have right here, Patrick Gupp. Patrick, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Could you tell me, I just met you today, Patrick, and you're a young guy. How old?
19.
19. You said that you first figured out abortion was wrong when you were sort of young. I'm wondering if you could tell us that story.
Yeah. Well, the real way that I got involved in the pro-life movement and the way I really realized, you know, how awful abortion really was when I was just a little kid. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and my parents would take me to the March for Life every year.
Wow.
And so I remember the first time that I actually read about what abortion really was just sitting in the back of my church and reading a pamphlet on the procedure and the effects that it has on the mother and just other information about it. Mm-hmm. And I was just really, it really moved me, just what an awful thing it was. And it really shocked me that there were people out there who were actually able to do that.
To do it.
And get away with it. Mm-hmm. And it just really, really shocked me, so.
So you were 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
You're now 19.
Yeah.
Okay. And where was this?
This was back home. This was in Virginia.
So. In Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so now, not only do you know personally that it's wrong, you've been doing something about it. What do you do?
Well, right now we're working on, I'm working with a group called Rock for Life. And basically what we do is we do pro-life ministries for youth. Hmm. We do some work with music and stuff to try to promote the pro-life message. And so right now we're doing a summer tour where we're going all over the country and going to various Christian music festivals, setting up booths there. And we sell T-shirts but we pass out a lot of literature, and we try to talk to people as much as we can while we're there.
Your T-shirts, I've been familiar with the Rock for Life T-shirts for quite a few years, going on 10 years, I guess. And it seems like they're pretty popular with young Christian pro-lifers all around the country. Mm-hmm. Have you guys sold a lot of those T-shirts, do you know?
Yeah, we do sell a lot of them. But the more the focus really is just to get the word out to the kids, you know. Because especially at these Christian festivals, a lot of the kids are pro-life, but just in certain aspects. They'll know that abortion is wrong, but a lot of people will have questions about contraceptives. Mm-hmm. They'll have questions about end-of-life issues. Mm-hmm. Or in vitro fertilization. Mm. Or the abortion cases of rape and incest. And so what we try to do is we try to kind of fill in the blanks, you know, get them like comprehensively pro-life.
Wow. So tell me, you might have some young pro-lifer come up to your booth, and you must engage him in conversation to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll end up saying, well, I'm pro-life except for rape and incest. They might just blurt that out.
Yeah.
And how common would that be for young pro-lifers?
It's not that often that they'll come up to us and they'll openly say it. Usually we'll talk to them and start talking to them about, you know, what we do, and they'll explain to us what their beliefs are. And if they do believe that abortion is okay and rape and incest, then we just try to mm-hmm. figure out why it is that they believe that, and then explain to them why, you know, it really isn't that much of an exception, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a child, and the child shouldn't be punished for the crimes of their father, so.
Wow, it's still a child. Of course it's a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the child should not be punished for the crimes of its father.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's a foundational biblical principle. Like in Ezekiel chapter 18, God got angry at the Israelites because they had an expression, and it went like this. The expression said, that the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and it sets the children's teeth on edge. You know, if you eat something sour and you squinch up your face, mm-hmm. like a bite into a lemon. And so they were blaming their fathers and saying God is punishing us because of our fathers. And God got so angry in that chapter, and he said, don't say that anymore. Don't say that. He said, because the son will not be punished for the sins of the father.
Mm-hmm.
Neither will the father be punished for the sins of the son, but each should be punished for his own sins or forgiven if they're repentant. So you teach young people that you don't kill a child because his father's a criminal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a very common thing for people to bring up is the idea of abortion in the case of rape and incest. Mm. But, you know, it's that, you know, it is a difficult situation for the mother because she had to endure this awful crime. But it's in the times that it's really difficult that the Lord calls us to really follow him at the most. You know, it's mm-hmm. he doesn't just call us to obey him when it's easy. He calls us to obey him when, you know, it's the hardest. So
mm-hmm.
that's what we try to tell people.
So we're speaking with Patrick Gott from Virginia. And Pat, we, for years here at Bob and Yurt Live, we addressed these issues, rape, incest, the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Could I give you our talking points for when they say you need abortion for rape?
Yeah.
And you can respond to them,
uh-huh.
see what you think, if they're solid, if they're weak. And these are on our website at kgov.com. on our writings tab.
Okay.
So, abortion for rape. Liberals compassionately care for the rapist, but they're willing to kill the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems backwards.
Yeah, it seems that it's doing the exact opposite. The fruit of the action is the child, and the child gets totally just overlooked. Mm-hmm. It's seen as a problem, and so they're just going to do away with it.
Yeah, and abortion, great point. And abortion helps the rapist by being an alternative to a severe deterrence.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are raped, they become pregnant, okay, have an abortion. It's a way with dealing with the rape rather than increased outrage to prevent it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rapists advocate abortion for rape, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard to do a survey, but they're all for the rapists advocate abortion for rape, especially when done quietly, which is normally the way it would be done.
Mm-hmm.
Helps them cover their crime. And so we should never kill, and then your point, we should never kill a child because his father is a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the other interesting part of it is that, you know, their solution to the problem of a rape is usually an abortion. And, you know, this mother has been through, you know, a really traumatic experience. And so their solution is to add another traumatic experience.
Wow.
On top of that, you know, women
victimize the mother a
exactly.
second time.
Yeah, women often have this mentality that they feel guilty when something like rape or incest happens to them. And so it doesn't seem logical to add, you know, the other guilt of them actually killing a child onto that.
So the first guilt that a woman may feel is wrong. She shouldn't feel guilty.
No.
For rape or incest.
No, absolutely not.
But the guilt of killing your own child, that is valid.
Yeah.
You are guilty then. And when I said earlier she becomes victimized the second time, when people around her say, kill the baby, that she's at that point, she's somewhat of a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is dealing with this abuse of people telling her to kill her own child. But then if she goes ahead and does it, then she bears that guilt, which is now the first guilt that she's had to deal with in this crisis.
Mm-hmm. It just adds it on top of it. It's insult to injury. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So as you go around the country, where did you start on this tour? So Rock for Life
mm-hmm.
is doing this summer tour of Christian music festivals?
Yeah. We go to all the major, or we go to as many major music festivals as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We started out at the Ichthus Festival in Kentucky, and then we went up to a festival in northern Ohio, central Pennsylvania, into Minnesota, and now we're going to be headed out to Washington State after this.
Okay.
And so we do the festivals, and in between time, we try to spend as much time as we can with the pro-life groups in the area,
mm-hmm.
Just to help them get active, get involved in the community. So.
Here in Colorado, we have Colorado Right to Life. Do you guys know about that group?
Yeah, we know some about them.
You so. Like those guys?
Yeah, right? they seem pretty solid guys.
They're so. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Brian Werbaugh, the president, Colorado Right to Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you guys have been an encouragement to them over the years for their strong stand. Now, you're young, so there's a lot of history to Rock for Life before you came on board.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll find out more about that. So about how many of these music festivals on this tour?
I believe that we have five left that we're going to be going
five
to.
Five left.
Yeah. And
already you've done?
We've already done four.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a pretty packed summer. But
yeah, and we do this kind of thing. We'll go to, whether it's the state fair or the people's fair or whatever, we meaning my circle of friends at Denver Bible Church or Colorado Right to Life, and set up a booth and talk to hundreds upon hundreds of people. And it's grueling.
Mm-hmm.
It is an actually grueling thing to do. And I just came from Birmingham, Alabama, where there's a week-long pro-life event, Operation Save America,
mm-hmm.
run by Flip Benham. You know about those guys?
Yeah.
They're just great.
They really are.
Really great. Hey, you know what happened there this week? No Christians were arrested so far. That's a good thing.
Yeah, wow.
But the abortion clinic director got arrested.
Huh.
I this has got to be a first. I don't know. Has that happened before in America? Here's what happened. About 200 pro-lifers line up on the sidewalk by the clinic, and this woman comes out of the clinic angry, furious, out of control,
mm-hmm.
and she's putting her fist in the face of the Christians, saying, "Get out of our neighborhood!" And the cops come over. Say, ma'am, you're causing a disturbance. We'd like you to get back on your property. And she said, don't tell me what to do. I don't have to listen to you. And the officer said, no, actually, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he took her arms behind her and handcuffed her, put her in a cop car, and they drove her off to the police station.
Wow.
So that was a switch, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not used to that.
No. It seems that people will bring up the stereotypical pro-lifer as being very... They seem to be kind of – people think they're very angry or very violent because of the whole history of
right.
of bombing abortion clinics and stuff. But it seems like it's actually the complete opposite, you know. When you talk to pro-choice advocates, they seem to always be very angry about it. And, you know, they're always reduced to just meaningless things. Like when we're at an abortion clinic, oftentimes people will drive by in their car and just scream profanities at us because
–
they can't come up with a reasonable argument. They just have to go down to, hey,
right.
you guys are stupid.
And so. Then you always see the migrating birds driving by.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The pro-choice. It's actually an international pro-choice symbol.
Hmm.
It's pretty amazing how they extend their finger. And you know what side of the issue they're on.
Exactly.
They're just liberal pro-aborts.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, there is that stereotype. And the people killing the kids are inside the clinic. And they're the counter-protesters, the people who are advocating the right to kill children.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pro-lifers outside. Yeah, we get a bad rap. Here in Denver, Operation Rescue came to Denver some years ago, and the abortion clinic was closed.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 200 people praying, kneeling outside the doors of the clinic. But the pro-aborts wanted the public to think that the clinic was open for business. So here's what they did. The TV cameras were there. I was there. There's a wall around this Planned Parenthood. It's only about 4 or 5 feet high. They put their hands down, and one woman, supposedly there for an abortion,
mm-hmm.
but she wasn't. She was one of their supporters, put her foot in their hands, and they were going to help her over the wall.
Huh.
So they gave it too much adrenaline, you know?
Yeah.
And they just hauled her and just shot her through the air over this wall. She lands on the ground on the other side. And on the news that night, they show the footage, and they say, Operation Rescue became violent today.
Oh, wow.
As though we're throwing women into the abortion clinic.
Exactly.
You know, which
yeah.
is not what we would do. But that's pretty typical. Whatever happens, they're going to blame the Christian, the pro-lifer,
mm-hmm.
because that's their bent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're somewhat used to that, but it is a shame.
It is a shame, but, you know, we just got to work to fight that stereotype, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the whole peaceful demonstrations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And really just changing people's hearts.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, the demonstrations, the protests, what you guys do, it's this social tension,
mm-hmm.
this undercurrent of unrest that can cause a government to change direction.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, because usually governments don't care about right and wrong. But when slavery causes such tension, then eventually it's probably going to go away.
Yeah.
And hopefully with abortion, we could be wise, peaceful, but wise and cause enough tension and unrest that people will confront their own inner wickedness and say, I've been wrong to support the right to kill children.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, Patrick Gott, what an honor to have you in studio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, I heard a rumor that your boss is somewhere around here. Actually, it's Phil Eddy, who is with Rock for Life. Let's see if we could get Phil in the studio. Now, Rock for Life is run back east, but these guys have been traveling around the country. And what an honor to have Phil Eddy here in studio. Phil, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. So you're the coordinator for the chapters and the street team? And the street team, that's what you do, Phil?
Yeah, yeah. It's a nationwide network of young people who are actively working to protect preborn life.
Wow. And so you're the coordinator of that part of Rock for Life, and you're pretty young yourself.
Yeah, I'm only 24. I feel old, though, working with so many young people.
Okay. All right. And so you have an announcement to bring to us, and I'm excited to hear what it is. Could you tell me and the audience what the announcement is coming from Rock for Life?
Yeah, well, I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the open letter to Dr. James Dobson.
Yes.
That several pro-life groups, including Colorado Right to Life,
right,
you yourself, Bob Enyart, and American Life League, another big name on there, they've all signed it, letting Dr. Dobson know, as well as the American public, that the partial birth abortion ban that was upheld by the Supreme Court is a fallacy. It's not going to stop abortion.
Right.
It's not even going to stop third trimester abortions.
No. It doesn't even slow abortions because it doesn't prevent a single abortion.
Mm-hmm.
What a tragedy. So what's the announcement?
Well, I'm letting you know that our director of Rock for Life National, Eric Whittington, is adding his signature to that letter.
Wow, that is exciting. So Rock for Life, I've enjoyed you guys for all these years and never imagined back, you know, in the late 90s when I first heard about Rock for Life that we could be allied in this way. But so Eric Whittington, director of National Rock for Life, is putting his name on this list, really right where Alan Key's name is right now, as a leader condemning this evil partial birth abortion ruling. And so it'll be Eric Whittington, director, National Rock for Life. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for bringing that news to us. Now, tell us more about the group, maybe a bit more than Patrick did. How long have you been with Rock for Life?
I've been involved since my freshman year in college.
Okay.
I first went down to the March for Life that year, met up with the Rock for Life group that was in the march. And
what city where did you grow up?
I'm originally from upstate New York.
Okay, what town?
Town of Nassau.
Nassau.
It's about 30 miles outside of Albany.
Albany. Yeah. Been there. Niagara Falls, beautiful part of the country.
Oh, yeah.
Really neat.
And I was going to college in Pennsylvania and took a group from the college down to the March for Life, met up with the Rock for Life people there, and then applied to be on the summer tour that year.
Wow.
Where we go around to the country doing the festivals and meeting with pro-life groups, doing activism and stuff like that. And this is my sixth summer doing that and my third summer as a full-time employee of American Life League. Rock for Life.
Wow, that's tremendous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, we must have a mutual friend because a friend of mine was a former director, I think, of Rock for Life, Jason Jones. Right? So you know Jason?
Oh, yeah. The Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been involved in pro-life activism for years. Now, I don't want to abuse the time you have with us, the short amount of time we have in studio, but I'd like to tell the story quickly of how Jason and I met.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he was an atheist college student from Hawaii going to school in California. He used to watch our show when it was also on TV, and he would get so angry as we talked about God. He said one night he took his couch and in anger, he flipped his couch over. But he watched long enough to realize that there is a God, and that God wants to have a relationship with us, and came in the person of Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and he was raised from the dead. So what an exciting thing that Jason Jones asked God to forgive his sins, and he put his faith in Jesus Christ. So now he's not only not an atheist, he's a full-time pro-life activist.
And a good one, too.
He's good, yeah. Isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, he is one of the sharpest people I've ever met in my life, Jason Jones. He is really great.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to get in a debate with him.
No, he reminds me of Steve Wagner from, you know, Steve Wagner, he does pro-life training with Justice for All.
I'm familiar with them, yeah.
Yeah, Justice for All, Steve from California. The two of them, they could be twins with how brilliant they are. Steve Wagner works with the ministry out of California, Stand to Reason, with Greg Kokel and those guys, and they do training on apologetics and pro-life training. So it is so neat to have men like this in the pro-life movement who are informed, sharp, eloquent. It is exciting.
And you're only going to see more of them. I mean, as we travel around the country in the summer, you find, probably due to the internet, young people who know so much more about abortion, they know so much more about pro-life argumentation than I did at that age.
Wow. That's encouraging to hear.
Everything's out on the internet, including our own information.
Yeah, yours. Which, your website?
www.rockforlife.org.
All right, rockforlife.org, rockforlife.org. And so people could find out about you guys. In fact, your shirts are available.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have really good shirts.
We try to, it takes a lot of time to come up with an idea for a t-shirt, because it's not just taking something that you saw on a bumper sticker and putting it onto a t-shirt.
Right.
We try to come up with new ways of thinking about pro-life arguments, mm-hmm. and try to come up with creative ways to say, you know, the thing that, you know, has been said for years. So, like the one I'm wearing, Justice for All, Born and Preborn.
Yeah, Justice for All.
I mean, it really is a social justice issue, mm-hmm. that we have here. Abortion is not just, you know, something for Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when people reject God, one of the reasons they reject God is because they believe the lies of their culture. And God put in our hearts, in our conscience, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. But when our culture says you can steal, you can commit adultery, you can murder, then what happens is that becomes a stumbling stone against trusting in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we tell people that God's law is real, because he is real, and we need to acknowledge him as our creator and honor him, that is could be a crisis moment in a lot of people's lives, where they think, am I going to ignore Jesus Christ or humble myself before him? So thank you for doing what you do, Phil.
Well, thank you for having us on here.
Really appreciate it. So we're out of time. That was Phil Eddy, who is a coordinator for the tour and the chapters, the street team of Rock for Life, their website, rockforlife.org. And what an exciting announcement that Eric Whittington, the national director of Rock for Life, is now joining us in our open letter project with his name listed as a leader condemning this evil partial birth abortion ruling. That's pretty exciting. And I want to also tell you that we have a lot of work coming up right here in Colorado. We have our Human Life Amendment that is going through the technical steps of the titling board and the wording approved to where the term person shall refer to a human being from the moment of fertilization in the Colorado Constitution. So as that continues, that project continues, we are going to need signatures. Only about, really, Colorado is a great state for getting signatures. Only about 90,000 signatures to have a cushion so that we'll definitely have enough. And it'll be Christian pro-lifers who are carrying these petitions around and getting people to sign them. And so we'll be calling on you, those of you who enjoy this program, Bob and Yurt Live, to help us. And those of you who live in other states, we'll ask you to send in money to help with that effort. So please stay in touch for that. But coming up this next week, I personally will need your help. I announced this yesterday, and we got some people to call in and offer their help. We will need your help next week for perhaps 2 hours. And this is not for people who've been working with us over the years and the months. This is for people we know over the years but have never, basically, they're not involved in our pro-life effort. We could use your help for a couple hours this week, this coming week. I'd like to meet with you. We only need a small group of us, and it's nothing scary. It'll be fun, and you'll be right in the middle of an important pro-life project. So if you think you could give a couple hours this week, you need a flexible schedule, I'd like you to call us at 303-463-7789. That's the Bob and Yurt Live office number, 303-463-7789. Now, if you can't write that down, you can't remember that, you could also try our other number, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. But a better chance getting through for this is not exactly an on-air issue. This is, we need your help, I need your help, with a pro-life project this week coming for just about 2 hours. So in the Denver metro area, if you think you can do that, please call. You need transportation. You have to come to where we're meeting. So call me at 303-463-7789. Say, Bob, consider me. I'd like to help. And then we'll take it from there. Okay? So you could call now. You could call after the program is over. And early next week, Monday morning, give us a call. All right? Okay. Also, I want to tell you, our Bible studies, for those who enjoy our Bob and Yurt Live Bible studies, I have a manuscript we call The Plot. It's an overview of the whole Bible. These have gone out to thousands of people around the country, and this is one of the things that keep us on the air, because we sell them for $50. It's a 330-page manuscript, or the downloadable version is at our website at kgov.com. Which is $45, and then you could search for words and verses and all on your computer, so that's sort of fun. Well, I teach through the entire Plot Bible study, and that's an audio albums, basically, and for the first time ever, we now have them all available on MP3 CDs. So you could study the overview of the Bible with me, and you could get these five CDs. It's The Plot, The Tree. The Plot is an overview of the whole Bible. The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, where all this trouble started, and how to actually live the Christian life. That's The Tree. And then there's The Law of Moses, for a foundation on criminal justice and God's principles of government and all. And then there's a study called The Last Days, because that's of big interest to a lot of people. The Last Days. And then finally, Miracles, Signs, and Wonders. Miracles and healing. All that, it's in an album called Details Galore, because the Bible records a few hundred miracles, and so we analyze those miracles, all of them, and we learn a lot about God and the way that God operates, and I think you'll be fascinated. So you can get any one of those albums. You can start out just with The Plot, or The Plot and The Tree, or you can get all five by calling us at 800-8-NYARDS. That's 800-836-9278. May God bless you.